Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 17. And in Ezekiel chapter number 17, we're just going to read a couple of verses over there. And I am pretty sure I've never preached out of this chapter. I've studied it a little bit. I may have referenced to it in preaching through the book of Revelation. I remember studying out some of these things, but we're just going to look at two verses this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 17. And we'll give you just a moment to find it in the Bible. It's after the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. And so pretty much right in the middle of your Bible. Ezekiel chapter number 17. And so if you found your place this morning, I just want to read a couple of verses. I'm going to read verse number 5, and then I'm going to skip down to verse number 8. And so Ezekiel 17 verse 5 says, "He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree." Verse number 8 says, "It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today and for all of the many, many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the pretty day. I'm thankful for answered prayer in this past week. And Lord, we've had a lot going on, and Lord, there's been funerals and things like that. Lord, been around a lot of heartache and tried to pray for each and every one involved. Lord, you know all about what's going on in our lives, and I'm so very thankful for that. I'm thankful that you are faithful, and you've said in your word you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. I'm thankful for your word, and I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people, and I'm thankful, Lord, that we're able to be here today. And I pray, and I ask that you would speak to our hearts from your word, and I pray, Lord, that it would make a difference in our lives, that we'd think about our walk with you and what it means to have a relationship with you, and that the word of God would be such a very important part of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today, that your people would be edified, and that your will would be done. I pray for great liberty to preach thy word, and we ask for your help. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and read down there in verse number 8 what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 8, "It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine." Now, I'm not going to preach today on the actual chapter number 17 in the book of Ezekiel here. I will just quickly give you the context of this scripture, or what this is talking about. This is a message to Israel, to the house of Israel. In verse number 2, the Lord said, "Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel." And it's talking about the children of Israel when they are under the influence of Nebuchadnezzar, and where Babylon is sort of ruling over the children of Israel, and that's the context of this passage of Scripture. But I don't want to deal with that today, but I do want to deal with what it is talking about in verse number 8. In verse number 8, it is talking about what was planted. The Bible says it was planted in a good soil. And that's what I want to preach on today is the subject. The title to the message would simply be this: good soil. This is the first and the only time that the word soil is mentioned in the Bible. And I didn't realize that. I'd never noticed that before. Now, the Bible talks about soil, but it talks about the land. It talks about the ground. But here is the only time in the Bible you find the word soil. So if you're going to preach on soil, you're limited to this one verse. But I want to try to preach today on the subject of the good soil. And it's talking about dirt. That's what it's talking about. Soil is dirt. And I want you to notice what happened in these verses. In verse number 5, he took also the seed of the land and planted it. He planted it in a field. Then verse number 8, the Bible talks about this seed of the land. It was planted in a good soil by great waters. And the result of this planting, the Bible says, that it might bring forth, that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Most everybody here today, if you know anything about me, you know that I like to garden. I like to plant a garden every year. And I guess you would say that is a hobby of mine, something that I enjoy doing. And we get a lot of blessings and benefits out of it. But I've already started thinking about this upcoming year, this spring. It's too early right now to plow. It's too early to till. It's not planting time. It's not time. You couldn't go out and you couldn't buy any plants to go in a garden. If you did and planted them and went through all the trouble, it wouldn't amount to anything. It'd just freeze. It wouldn't do anything. Now is not the time to think about any of these things. But it is time to think about it. And it's time to plan about it. And what I'm thinking about, what I'm planning about, is the soil. It's not too early to think about the soil, the dirt, the place that we're going to plant and put a garden into or a crop into. Farmers and gardeners, if they're thinking about anything right now, they're probably thinking about the time to come to prepare the soil. And so that's what we're going to look at today and think about today. And as I think about gardening, you might think it's an odd time to think about gardening, but I've already been thinking about that. But the past few years that I've planted a garden, it's been sort of disappointing. In fact, over the past few years, the quality of the whole thing has been what we might say declining. And last year was the worst year I've had in a long, long time. And a lot of other people had some of the same experiences with their garden. I mean, I like to plant tomatoes, but the tomatoes didn't do right. The quantity wasn't there. The quality wasn't there. What few that I had, it just seemed like the taste and the success that I'd had in years gone by, it just wasn't what it had been in the past. And the corn just, it just didn't do good. And the beans taste like, you know, just eating cardboard. And it just wasn't a good year. It just hasn't been a good year for the past several years. And the only thing I had an abundance of was aggravation. Has anybody else ever had that? You know, there's plenty of that. And I told Kim a couple of times, in fact, several times, I told her last year, I said, you know, I just wish I hadn't even went to the trouble. It's so aggravating. When nothing turns out like you'd like for it to turn out, you almost think, I just wish I wouldn't have bothered with it. It's just more trouble than it's worth. It's just easier to go to the store and buy the things that you'd like, and it's just a whole lot of aggravation. But you know, I'm not going to give up on it. I'd like to turn things around. I'd like to see this year be a better year than in years gone by. And so I've been thinking about this and looking at this. And even last year, I had already planned on some things that I was going to do different. And what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the soil. I think a lot of my problems might lie in the soil, might be in the dirt. And I've found as I've studied about this and been looking into this that there are a great many lessons that parallel with our Christian life. And I have preached on gardening and I've preached on pruning and I've preached on all these things before. But today I want us to think about the soil. The soil is very, very important as we begin to think about it. And so there's a few things I want to point out today using these verses as an outline to go by. But number one, I want us to think about this. Number one, there's the forgotten soil. The Bible says in verse number 8, it was planted in a good soil. That's the first thing it is mentioned about this vine that came forth and it bare fruit, and it was a goodly vine, and it spread, and it was successful. But the very first thing that is mentioned in its success is that it was planted in good soil. And I think a lot of times we forget about the soil. We take great care to plow and to till and to buy good plants and good quality seed. And you've got to have water, and you've got to take care of the weeds, and you've got to spray at certain times. And there's a whole lot of things that we take care of. But all the while, sometimes we forget about, or we might not even know about, how important the soil is. You've got to have good soil. And that very same thing applies to us spiritually as well. Now, you may not be familiar with Ezekiel chapter 17 and verse number 8, but I'd say you're familiar with, I think it's Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter number 4. Over there in the Bible, we find the parable of the sower. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." And it's talking over there about the man that goes out, and he goes out to sow in the fields, and he goes and he sows his seed different places. But there's only one place that the seed comes forth and is abundant. The Bible says that he goes out and he sows the seed, and he sows by the wayside. And when he sowed by the wayside, that was ground that people walked on, and it was trampled on, and it was hard. And the seed didn't even get down into the soil. You know, sometimes that's how we are. Our hearts, our lives are so hard that the seed... And by the way, the seed is the Word of God. The seed doesn't even get down into where it needs to get down into. And the Bible says that the fowls came and gobbled it all up. Doesn't say gobbled, but they devoured the seed. It was seed by the wayside. And then it talks about that some of the seed fell upon stony ground. And it says over there, there was not much earth there. And I think then he was talking about my garden. You know, they say over here, different places in the county, and I don't understand this, but for example, where my garden is, and right across the creek is Dad's garden, and my garden has more rocks than it does dirt, and his is all dirt and no rocks. And I mean, I could throw a rock from one to the other. I don't understand that, but the Bible said that the second place that the sower went forth to sow, the Bible said it was stony ground, and there was not much earth there. And the seed that did spring up, the roots couldn't go down. And they sprung up really quickly, but they died off quickly as well. It was stony ground. It wasn't fit. And then it said that he sowed among the thorns, and the thorns came, and they choked the seed. And so there was no success there. But finally, the Bible said that he sowed on good ground. There is such a thing as good ground. And when he sowed on the good ground, then it came forth, and there was fruit that was born, and there was a successful harvest of what had been sown, and all of these things. And so in ministry, in church, in our spiritual lives, the same things apply to us spiritually today. Do we not have in our lives, and even in church, do we not have seasons that are sometimes disappointing? And does it not seem like sometimes that no matter how much we try, that it just seems like the whole picture is in decline? Does anybody ever think to themselves, you know, it's just not what it ought to be? It's not what it used to be. Seems like as a whole, and I'm talking about across the globe and Christianity and all of these things. We're not in days of revival. We are not in days of great successes, but maybe just a little something every once in a while. But I'm telling you, it's not like we find in the Bible. It's not like it used to be once upon a time. And I think sometimes a lot of people, they try to blame it on the seed. It's not the seed's fault. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. Yet we find a multitude of people out here that are continually changing God's Word. The problem is not in the seed. The problem is not in the season. A lot of times we blame the season and we look around at the what we might say the dearth, the famine, the lack of spiritual progress, the lack of souls being saved, the lack of spiritual interest, and we just satisfy ourselves by saying, well, you know, it's the last days. We blame it on the season. Well, we're in the last days, and the Bible said, you know, in the last days this, and the last days that. But here's what Jesus said. John chapter 4, verse 35, He said, say not there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. The season is now. The fields are white. There is a multitude of harvesting that needs to be done, but it just seems like we can't gather it in. So the problem is not the seed. The problem is not the season. It is not for lack of trying. I think we try a lot. It's not like we don't have church. It's not like we don't have preaching. It's not like that we're not carrying on, and we have lots that is going on among us, and there's preaching and there's church and there's meetings and there's all kinds of outreach and missionaries going out and vacation Bible school and on we could go. There's a lot of activity, so I don't think we could say, well, we're just not trying, or that we're not trying hard enough. Because there's abundant evidence that, yeah, we're trying. But I think sometimes we might just forget that our problem might be in the soil. And I'm going to get down and show us really from the Word of God what the soil actually is. But it might be that the soil is not as good as it needs to be. We just forgotten about that. We're everything on the upside, and everything that we can see as far as the things we can see, we're carrying on, but the problem might lie underneath in the soil. So there's the forgotten soil, number one. Number two, let me point this out. The foundation of everything is in the soil. The foundation is soil. In verse number 8, the Bible said it was planted in a good soil. Now, if the Bible says there's a good soil, it infers that there's also bad soil. And I pointed that out in Mark chapter number 4 a little bit, the parable of the sower. There was the wayside, and there's the stony ground. There's good soil and there's bad soil. I come across something in my studying last week that I thought was very interesting. I'd never heard about it before. But on June the 1st, 1936, a man, he's a senator. His name was Duncan Fletcher. And he presented a letter to Congress, and it became a part of the congressional record. It's labeled as U.S. Senate Document 264. And he presented a letter to Congress, and the title was Modern Miracle Men. And this letter told about the work of a man named Dr. Charles Northern. And Dr. Charles Northern was a medical doctor, but he gave up his career in medicine to work in biochemistry and nutrition. And what Dr. Northern, his life's work was that he said this, he said, sick soils means sick plants, sick animals, and sick people. He said, I am really a doctor of sick soils. And he is famous for his work in what he did. Everywhere that he went through his work on the soil, he saw an abundance of quality and quantity, and he saw that pestilence and disease always went down, and he eventually moved to Florida, and he worked among the oranges and grapefruits and things like that. And everywhere he went, he was able to turn around the agriculture. And all he did was change the soil. He didn't change anything else. And so at that time, his work, it was very interesting. And some things that you may not realize about soil. Soil has minerals in it. And it's called essential minerals. And I know you learned about it in school. We learned about chemistry. We learned about things like nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium and calcium and things like that. These are essential minerals. And if you go and buy a bag of fertilizer, you read what's on that. And it's made up different percentages, but what does it put back in the soil? These essential minerals, nitrogen, phosphorus, calcium. I know Brother Raymond, Brother Tim could do a better job than me explaining all of that, because that's their business, or has been. And what they dealt with is putting these essential things back in the soil. And so Mr. Northern said, you may grow plants in deficient soil, but it's susceptible to disease. Its color won't be right. Its taste, its texture is going to be inferior. It won't have the nutrition that vegetables of the past have had. I wonder, in our modern version of Christianity, where everything sort of looks alike. Have you ever noticed that at the grocery store? All the tomatoes, all the lemons, all the cucumbers, they're all same size, same color, same texture. They all look alike. Sort of like all churches look alike. But you know, if you've ever grown a garden, you know that's not the way that it is. If you get tomatoes out of a garden, you've got big ones and little ones and lopsided ones. And I mean, there's an infinite variety. But what we get out of sort of factory farms. Aunt Lou's here this morning, and she called us the other day, and she said, stop by, I've got something for you. And somebody had been down to Florida, and they had brought back some lemons out of their backyard that they grew on a lemon tree, and she gave us two. Well, I mean, they didn't bring back a whole lot, but she wanted us to. And the first one was bigger than any lemon I've ever seen in a store. I said, just look at that. It's not like the little bag where they're all the same size and they're hard as a rock. And boy, I split that thing open and got all the juice out of it. And I even tasted the inside of it. Man, that thing tasted good. Then a couple of days later, I got the other one and opened it up and put half of it in some water and, you know, drank it and everything. And done the same thing after that. And I tasted the inside of it. I said, that's the best lemon I ever tasted. And I ate the whole inside of it. And about halfway through it, I said, that's not a lemon, that's an orange. She gave us a lemon and an orange. I thought they were both lemons. But what? How do you not know the difference? It looked different than what you buy in the store. But we base everything on just comparing ourselves among ourselves. And I'm telling you, a lot of what you get in the store isn't any good. It's not always good to look exactly and be exactly like everything and everybody else. I'm telling you, if you buy tomatoes this time of the year, you're wasting your money. It don't look like it. It don't taste like it. It's not been ripened in the sun. I doubt if it's as good for you as what comes out of the garden. the foundation of everything that we receive and enjoy out of the garden comes from the soil. And I wonder if in our modern version of Christianity, all we're concerned about is how something looks and how many of this and how many of that, and we compare ourselves among ourselves, but we've neglected the soil. And therefore, we're getting an inferior product. You see, everything can look okay above, but it can be deficient underneath. The Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. And it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We can deceive ourselves into having a form of godliness and, you know, does it look all right? But that's all it is a form. But there's no power there. We ought to be interested in that power. The power of God in our midst. And so that everything, the foundation of all of that we enjoy is the soil. So it's very, very important that we have good soil. There's the forgotten soil. There's the foundation is the soil, and it has to be good soil. But number three, let me point out this morning, the fruit of the soil. Now, in verse number 8, look what the Bible said. It was planted in good soil by great waters. Look what it said, that it might bring forth branches and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Do you see the connection in the good soil and the good vine? You can't get a good vine out of bad soil. Talking about the fruit of the soil. In John chapter number 15, and I've preached out of that before. In fact, I preached a whole series out of John 15, the fruit and the vine. And Jesus talks about he that abideth in me. But the will of God for our lives in John chapter number 15, there's a pattern there, and it is beareth fruit, more fruit, much fruit. God desires to get much fruit out of our lives. If we are barren, meaning that we do not bear fruit as Christians, we're nowhere near where we ought to be. God wants to get fruit and more fruit and much fruit out of our lives. That is His goal for our lives, that we would be fruitful, that we would bring forth fruit. Dr. Northern said this. He said, you'd think that a carrot is a carrot, that one is about as good as another as far as nourishment is concerned. But it isn't. One may look and taste like another and yet be lacking. Laboratory tests prove that the fruits, vegetables, grains, eggs, milk, and meats of today are not what they were a few generations ago. Now, he said that about natural things. But could we not say that about spiritual things? The fruit of today is not what it was just a few generations ago. And so we bring ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves, we ought to ask ourselves this morning, how is our fruit comparatively speaking? I mean, if we compare our lives with the lives of those we find in the Bible, how's our fruit? If we compare our lives, our churches, with the lives of those from just a few generations ago, how's our fruit? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we can labor hard all year long and maybe see one or two people saved. Three or four, five. Is that not the way it is? And a few generations or a generation or two ago, they could have revival in the spring and in the fall, and they could see more saved than we see in a whole year, 2 years. Compared to just a few generations ago, how is our fruit? How does our fruit compare to just a short while ago? We are very, very active in a lot of things that we do. Look in your Bibles in Galatians chapter number 5. The fruit of the soil. We might say in Galatians chapter number 5 that there's a bad fruit and a good fruit. Because there is, the two are compared over there. One is called the works of the flesh, and the other is called the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter number 5, the works of the flesh are mentioned. They are manifest. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, what are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And he goes on down and he mentions all of those things. You say, preacher, what are all those things? I'm telling you, they're not good. But we see all that all round about us all the time. But among God's people, there ought to be a different fruit. There ought to be among God's people the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You want me to stop and take time to preach on all these things? Joy. Let me just mention one or two of them. Among God's people, there ought to be an abundance of joy. Yet many times we're the saddest group you ever run into. We're sad about just about everything. We're sad about everything the world is sad about. But we've got so much more to have joy about. If anybody in this whole wide world ought to have a smile on their face, it ought to be the children of God in spite of everything. We ought to have joy. That is a fruit of the Spirit. We ought to have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. We ought to be full of faith. When the world looks out and it says there's no hope, there's no use to go on, there's no future, it all is bleak and dark and bad, God's people ought to have faith. It might look that way, but God is still on the throne. And as long as God is ultimately in control, we ought to have faith. Faith, meekness, temperance, that's self-control. Against such there is no law. And so he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There ought to be a fruit. There ought to be an evidence in our lives. And that's the fruit that ought to come forth. And so we ask ourselves, how is our fruit today? Number three, the fruit of the soil. Number four, going on, this is what I really want to get to. There is the fortifying of the soil. Now, the good news is that if our soil is bad, it has been proven both agriculturally, I guess you could say, that it should be done and it can be done. If we have bad soil, what we've got to do, we've just got to revive that soil. We've got to put back into that soil what made it great to begin with. And you can do that. Go down and talk to Brother Tim. Go down the hardware store and talk to him about all that stuff they've got in the back. Go find a farmer somewhere, it says, and say, you know, I'd like to help you clean out your stables and just get some of that good chicken. You know, in the Bible, it's called dung. And it comes from a word, ordure. And that's where we get our word manure from. I'd like to get some of that good stuff to put back on my garden and rejuvenate my soil, revive my soil by putting back into it what's been taken out of it. It should be done. Good news, it can be done. It is possible to add back what is missing, and the result is literally a revival. So you can bring your soil back where it needs to be. In the Bible, there are explicitly two things that God recommended to the children of Israel. You see, they were basically, they were farmers. And God in His wisdom showed them how to take care of their land. Number one, look in Exodus chapter number 23. Number one, God told the children of Israel that if they wanted to be successful in their farming, taking care of the land, God said, you need to let that land rest. This is where we talk about, maybe you learned about it some in school, or maybe you've heard about, it is imperative to rotate your crops, to move things around, and to let the land rest. God told the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 11, He said this, He said, but the seventh year thou, or let's read verse 10, and 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So your field, your vineyard, where you grow your olives, God said, do that 6 years in a row, but the seventh year, let it rest. There's a very similar principle in our lives. God said this, 6 days, work. Seventh day, rest. Now, I know we don't observe the Sabbath day. That's Saturday. But in principle, we do. Our rest day is not Saturday. It's just Sunday. It'd be good for all of us if we'd take that to heart and have a day of rest. Look what the Bible said there. I've got this underlined. He said, let it rest and lie still. Ask Him. I take that very literally. About Sunday afternoons, about as long as I can last throughout the week. But God told him. He said, let it rest. Let it lie still. And we have I'm not going to say we have a problem with doing that. I'm going to say we won't do that. We just don't do that, and we won't do that. What are we missing in our lives that generations ago they felt that it was very, very important to do? We don't have any rest for our soul. We are up and at it, most people. And I mean from the time we roll out of the bed, we are occupied with this world and the things of this world, and on the computer and on the TV and right into the day. And if you don't take time in your life to have, here's what David said, Psalms 46 and verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. If you don't have some word time, you'll burn out, you'll burn up, you'll come to the end of your rope, you'll pull your hair out, you'll be frazzled, you'll be worried, you will be discouraged with all the many things that there are to do. God designed us that He might speak to our heart, but if we are not still and let God do that, you're going to run out of steam. You don't run your car and not put fuel back in it. But we'll run ourselves into the ground and we don't take time to rest and be still before God and let Him revive us and put back into us exactly what we need. But God said, let the land rest. God said to man, work 6 days and rest one day. You need to rest. You want to be revived? You want to get what you need? God's Word in your heart. And in order to get that, you're going to have to sit down and be still. And get in God's Word and read and pray and listen to what God has to say. You see, the essential elements, some of them are measured in parts per million. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but there's just traces in the soil of all the things that are needed to grow a plant and make it beneficial. And as you get into God's Word, you may say, I don't know that I get a lot out of it. If you don't get a lot out of it, don't try to read 5 chapters at a time. Try to read 1 chapter and get something out of it. There might be 1 chapter, there might be 1 verse that has 2 words in it. That's what you need today. And if you'll let God, if you'll take time and let God put that in your heart, that might be the very thing that you need to be fruitful. Maybe you don't need 5 chapters. Maybe you need a couple of verses just to meditate on. Moses told Joshua, or God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, if you're going to lead the children of Israel, you'd better get in the Word of God. And then you'll be fruitful. Then you'll be successful. But not outside of God's Word. Number one, there's a resting. Number two, there has to be a receiving. Look in Mark chapter 4. Let me show you something over there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look in Mark chapter number 4, the second book in the New Testament. So over in Mark chapter 4, there's the parable of the sower went forth to sow. And he went out into all the different places and he sowed his seed. And the explanation of that begins in verse number 13. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 13. Now, if we're going to revive the soil, you got to let it rest. But it also has to receive what's put into it. And so in Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 13, the Bible said, Jesus said, and He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the Word. And so He's talking about the Word of God. The sower soweth the Word. These are they by the wayside, and the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And does that not happen so many times? We go, we hear the Word of God. And as soon as we go out the door, we forgot what the preacher preached on. And I'm not throwing rocks at you, because somebody asked me the other day. I talked to Brother Kyle on the phone. He said, what'd you preach on last week? And I said, well, a few weeks ago I preached on. But boy, I'm telling you, it gets gone. And Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. In verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the Word immediately received with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. And some, for a little while they're in there, but don't last very long. Verse 18, these are they that are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. Man, there's a great message in verse 19. The cares of this world. How many come into church, sat down, and you're sitting there thinking about what you've got to do tomorrow? What are you supposed to do on Thursday? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I told Kim the other day, I said, it don't matter how much money you make. You just spend it. You know, it just comes and goes. And the lusts of other things entereth in and choke the word. But look at verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some in hundreds. You know what the key is to the whole thing? You got to hear the word and receive it. So what is the soil anyway? The soil is you and me and how we hear the word and receive it. We've got to receive that word into our hearts, and then it will bring forth. And so the word of God put into us, that's what makes us fruitful. You want to be fruitful? You've got to learn to be devotional. And what I mean by that, you've got to learn to be in God's word. We need to be a people of the word. If our soil and our soul was as it should be, we would be fruitful. But the soil has got to receive. The soil has got to receive God's word. What I preach is important. But you're not going to get near out of it what you ought to if you've not been in the Word this week. Commentaries, Sunday school literature, the comments of the teachers. I have people tell me all the time, I just can't get out of it. I'd like a good commentary. You get more out of it if you learn to just sit there and meditate in that. And read that over and over and over again until the Holy Ghost of God turns the light on. Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Get in God's Word. Be people of the Word. Make sure that our soil is rich so that we can be fruitful. I'll share with you one last thing and I'll close this morning. I read over in Luke chapter number 13. The Bible tells us over there about the parable of the barren fig tree. And it tells us in Luke chapter number 13 about this man. Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. This man came to his vineyard. And in his vineyard he had a fig tree. And he came to that fig tree and there wasn't any fruit on it. And the Bible said in verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Notice he mentions it in relation to the ground. Why is this barren fig tree a burden to the ground? Cut it down. Verse number 8, he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. This man that took care of the man's vineyard, he said, let me one more year. Let me dig about it and dung. Let me fertilize and break up that fallow ground. Let's try. I suspect He said to that man, I suspect the problem's not in the tree, but in the soil. Let me dig around that thing, put a bunch of good, fresh manure, that's what that dung abounded, around it, dung around it means. And he said, then if it bears fruit, good. But if it don't, then we'll cut it down. Let's just try one more thing. Let's work on the soil. See if that does anything to help. And I think this morning it'd be good for us, and we're still in this new year. Let's think about maybe the soil needs working on. Maybe we could try one more year. What if God just gave us one more year? Wouldn't you want to be fruitful? I want to be fruitful this year for the Lord. Let's dig around it. Let's put back into it what needs to be there and see if God wouldn't make us fruitful. I'm telling you, it'll work. When I was a little boy, we had a maple tree in our yard, and it was, I don't know if Dad planted it or it came up. I don't remember, but I remember this. It was sort of poorly. And Dad said, I'm gonna work on that thing. And he went and bought some, and I don't know if you can still get them, but they were fertilizer stakes. And he went out in the yard and he got a whole pack of them things. And he drilled holes all around that tree. And I don't know if he was following directions or not. I think he might have overdone it a little. He put them stakes in the ground all around that tree. And then we waited to see what that thing was going to do. When that thing put out leaves, they'd cover your face. I remember us laughing about that. I remember us talking about, you think them things work? They worked. And every time when I go up there to mow the cemetery, I park right down there where it is, and I look over and I always think about him fertilizing that tree. He didn't fertilize it to death, but he laid it to it. And I'm telling you, that worked. If we get serious about it, there's no telling what God could produce out of our lives. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And if you study that word abundantly, what it means the picture is this, an apple tree that is so loaded down with fruit that the branches touch the ground. That's what that word picture is. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Our lives ought to be like an apple tree loaded down to the ground, that the branches are so low that others can come along, get the fruit off of it. Only the Lord can do that. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.